Almighty God, as we come into this time, Father, this morning, we're in your house this day, Lord, and we're here, Lord, to praise, to worship, to bless, and to glorify your wonderful name this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for who you are this morning. You are the great I Am. You are the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the King of Kings, the God and King and Creator of the universe and of all things. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And this morning, Lord, we just bow before you, Lord, and we give you thanks for who you are. Could we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Well, I'm not going to be doing a lot of shouting this morning, because I've had no voice all week, and we've been trying to save it, really, for a time such as this. What I want to talk to you about this morning is a couple of scriptures, and they're both in Matthew's Gospel. And one I'm going to start off with is in Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to read from verse 23 of chapter 8. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest. The sea, insomuch as the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke up, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Let's just have a look at that for a little minute. Jesus is going to the boat, and the disciples have followed him. And then there's a great tempest. Well, I've looked up, I'll try to look up the word tempest. But the sea, and don't forget that these men were fishermen, not them all, because there was tax collector, etc. amongst them, but they were bold fishermen, rugged men. And they climb in the boat, and suddenly there's this huge, massive storm, which is overshadowing the boat. And they were in fear. And where was Jesus at this time? He was at the back of the boat asleep. Now you would think, what's going on here? Well, let me just share a little bit of testimony along with this. In 1950-something, I forget where it was now, I went out to the Gulf on a troop ship from Southampton going out to the Gulf. And I remember the crew, they were battening everything down. And I said to one of the crew members, I said, are we going to have a rough deal here? He said, we certainly are. He said, we're expecting a fierce storm. And about Sunday dinner time, we were going for lunch. And there had to be three sittings. And we had different colours of tags, coloured cards, you know, to show when we went in, because there was that many on the ship. There was over 1,000 men on the ship, just out of my regiment alone. And there were 250 men on my troop deck. And we were the first in for a lunch on a Sunday dinner time when the ship started to rock and roll. And it's not the rock and roll that you'll be doing with a dance, I can assure you. And it started to plunge. And by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we was in a fierce storm. I can imagine what these disciples was going through, because I thought we were going to die, because it was that bad. And this is what they call the Bay of Biscay, if everybody's been through that place. And I think it was March. And the storm was so terrific. We was in it for a couple of days. And I don't like going on the Big Dipper and these things, but I'll tell you what, When the ship plunged forward, it was just like being on an helter-skelter. And then it rose up. You could touch the sea at one stage, and then next minute it was like being at the top of Blackpool Tower. So it was awful. So when I started to put this together and I started looking at this, I thought, these men really should have been in that place of fear. They were fearing for their lives. But then I thought, well, there isn't the presence of God because Jesus is sat in the back of, asleep in the back of the boat. Why should they be feared? Nothing could happen to them. Why Jesus was with them. And I thought, well, is this an attack from the enemy? Was the enemy trying to wipe the disciples out and Jesus and all, you know? And I thought, well, this is not right because Jesus had chose these 12 men for a work for him to do. And so, therefore, I took it to being a test of faith. And so here we are. This tempest, like a mini tsunami, I think it would be, because it was that bad. And this is what he said. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you fearful? Why are you fearful? Well, I know why they were fearful. Because it's not just being a matter of being frightened or scared. They were in great fear. And he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now, we could look at this in another angle as well. We go through many storms in our lives. We hit the peaks of the high and the lows. And you know, it's only when we get in that valley, in that low part, that it causes us to cry out unto God. Because so many times we try in our own efforts to put things right ourselves. But what did Jesus say? You speak to that mountain and tell it to be removed. It'll be gone. So we're here, we're in the hands of the Lord, and we're saying, Lord, I can't do this on my own strength. There's nothing that the disciples could do because they was in the hands of God. They was in the hands of the Lord. And so they were crying out to the Lord, saying, save us. And then the Lord stands up and said, oh, ye little faith. And he spoke to the wind and the sea, and it was calm. That would be. Why? Because he created them in the first place. All these things was created by. So even the sea and the wind obeyed his voice. So there's nothing impossible where God is. It's just that we don't use the power and authority that we have as Christians to take the authority in the problem of the situation that we find ourselves in. Even this week, I've found myself in that situation where I've had to cry out unto the Lord. It's not plain sailing. And I think the higher you go with the Lord, and especially in any ministry at all, somewhere along the line, there's always the common enemy that will come in and try to disrupt and to destroy. What's it say in John 10:10? The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it you more abundantly. So here we are, we're in a situation where there is nothing impossible where God is. But yet, life itself seems many times impossible. It seems like sometimes we can't get out of the problems. We can't get out of the mud that we're stood in. And sometimes it's of our own making. But Jesus is saying to the disciples, oh, ye of little faith. They had nothing to fear. So it was a test of faith for these disciples, for something else that was bound to come. You see, they were still training. They wasn't in some college. They wasn't sitting for some degrees of ISL. They were being trained in discipline as disciples. And it seemed that it was a failure at this point. But no, it wasn't. It was a test of the faith. That's the way I read into that. Just as much as it was a test of faith when I was on that ship. 12,000 tons, that's all it was, the size of the ship, and being tossed about like a bobbin. But yet we came through it. And I really thought, at that particular time, we were going to die. Let's go a bit further on in this scripture. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey?" What manner? This man, that everything obeys his voice. Now he goes on, and he's going over to the island of, I can never pronounce this word, so you'll have to forgive me. The island of the Gadarenes, that's the way I put it over. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gadarenes, there met him in the tombs two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by the way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before our time?" Have you come to torment us before our time? Now, what a lot of people don't realise as Christians, once you become born again and filled with the Spirit of God, you enter the supernatural things of God. And believe you me, the devil doesn't like it. He doesn't like us doing what we've been doing this morning. He doesn't like us worshipping and praising God. And do you know something? One of the first things that the enemy will hit is this. I've seen churches taken out through the music itself. And it's still going on. And yet here, in human form, these two men met Jesus and his disciples when they got over to the other side. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before our time?" And there was a good way off from them, an herd of swine feeding. So the devil besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go into the pigs." Hallelujah. So what was Jesus doing here at the other side? I believe he was showing his disciples the way through. It was another part of showing them discipleship and discipline, how to deal with the enemy that we have. Because we have an enemy of our souls, and that's the devil. Make no mistake about it. No, I'm not saying that we should be riding around looking for these things, no. Because if we're in ministry or in some other to do with the work of God, they will find us. They'll try to test us. They'll look us out. But in it all, Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He holds us in the palm of his hand. So we're safe. Now I just want to turn over and I want to have a look at the second scripture, which is in 14. Matthew 14. Now we have a situation here where Jesus is just fed the 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes. Another miracle, you may say. Yes, it is. Let's pick it up from 15 of chapter 14. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place. The time is now past, and the multitude, send the multitude away, that they may go to the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give them somewhat to eat." And they said unto him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, Bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, looked up to heaven, blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did eat, and they were filled, and they took up all the fragments that remained in the baskets. 12 baskets they filled with the crumbs. And they that eat was about 5,000, besides women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. Now this is the point I want to make. He's told his disciples to get in a ship. They've just come through previously, through that storm. And here they find themselves again, for a second time, entering the boat. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Hallelujah. We haven't got the type of tsunami, but we've got now a very rough sea. And again, I believe that the disciples will be thinking back a couple of chapters previous here and saying, what's going on here? You see, Jesus was in the boat the first time, but Jesus is not in the boat this time. Can you see where I'm coming from? But I'm sure his thoughts was with them as he was praying. But when he came, the ship was away. It had entered into the sea. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the 4th watch of the night, Jesus went on to them, walking on the sea. What a wonderful sight that must have been. Do you know, a few years ago, I was in Majorca, one of the islands, Menorca. I always get mixed up with these, Menorca and Menorca. And the couple we were with was the pastor of the church that I was with then. And his wife said, I've just seen something which I just can't get my head around. He said, there's a bloke walking on the water. I said, really? But when we looked, there was nobody there. I thought she was having, with it being so hot, I thought she was having some sort of illusion. But then again, the following day, she said, there. And when we looked, this fellow was walking on the water. And he was about, I would say, about 200 or 300 yards from shore. And sure enough, he was walking on the water. And I thought, well, this is not biblical. This is just not right there. There's something wrong here. So we swam out. And what it was a coral. It was coral. And it was about an inch, a 2-inch, the water was just resting over the coral. And the depth, I would think, was about 9 feet. That this rock was stood in. And we climbed up on it. And we waved to them on the shore, just to let them know, you know, it wasn't some sort of miracle. It was it was us walking on the water. You know, so it's some tremendous experience when you think about it, but, you know, Gene actually thought that this guy was actually walking on the water, but he was walking on the rock that was covered with an inch of water. Praise God. But here we have a situation again where these disciples now are in fear again for the second time. And listen to what it says. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out in fear. So this word keeps cropping up, fear. This is not just a mild thing of just being a little bit scared or frightened. This was fear. This was really fear. But straight away Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Hallelujah. What wonderful encouraging words. Why are in the midst of a storm that the Lord appears and said, "It is I. Be not afraid." Hallelujah. But straight away, and Peter answered him, said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me to come unto the water." And he said, "Come." So he was invited to come. Notice the other disciples wasn't so keen. But here's Peter. And he might say to himself, "I'll have a go. If Jesus can do it, I can do it." So by stepping out of the boat, he's putting his full trust in Jesus. He's putting his full trust in the Lord. And he's stepping out of the boat. Well, in stepping out of the boat, it's the first test of faith. They've already been accused of not having any faith by having that little faith. But now, here's Peter, he steps out of the boat and he begins to walk on the water. What a tremendous sight. And these waves, they're going up and down. Not the big heavy waves that was in the first boat they were in. But this was like a heavy swelling of the sea. And here's Peter, in all his boldness and trust and faith, steps out and he begins to walk. But look what happens. He walked on the water to Jesus, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and he began to sink. What's he done in this situation? He's took his eyes off the Lord. He's seen that the natural things that can do him damage, he's looked to them instead of looking to the Lord. Now, Jesus has already offered him to come in the first instance. Come. And he's saying to us this morning, come. He's drawing us onto himself. But then we start looking down and we see the circumstances and situations and problems that we have, and we start to look at them and we take our eyes off the Lord. What a mess. Have we entered that place this morning where we're fully in trust of the Lord? There is nothing impossible where God is. The Bible tells us that. But constantly we take our eyes off God and we begin to sink. And this is what happened to Peter. Again, look what the Lord says. He cried to the Lord, "Save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said to him, "O thou of little faith, where didst thou doubt?" Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Why ask me, can you come? And I invite you to come. And then you begin to doubt. Is that for us in some of our lives this day, this morning? Do we doubt sometimes of what the Lord is saying to us? I'm not standing up here this morning squeaky clean in our area because I fail many times in the length of a day through things, you know, by taking my eyes off the Lord. And you know, one of the things, and I'm sure there's plenty of drivers in here this morning, it's quite easy to take your eyes off the Lord and fix them on a situation when you're on the road. When somebody cuts you up. When somebody's shouting names at you. Or somebody's behind you pipping their arm because you're not going fast enough. And straight away, what do? You start to lose your peace. And by the time you get to the end of your journey, you've lost your joy. And all you're thinking about is the clown that's just done this. And who can I get at him? So what have we done? We've took our eyes off the Lord and we've fitted it on the situation that we've just been in. Now, Pat, my wife will agree with you. I don't like these things happening. In the 60s, I did a spell in the police. And, you know, when you've been in something like that where you're under the law and you see people doing things silly, then things start coming back and they said, that shouldn't be. That shouldn't happen. But neither as a Christian should we be shouting a mouth off to somebody that's committed the offence in the first place. You become as bad as him. So that's the sort of situation. And I'm sure there's many other things really today in our lives which we allow to happen. And you know, when we've lost our joy, we've lost our peace. It's love, joy, and peace. So all of them start going out through the window, one by one, till really we find ourselves back into a place where God's delivered us from. We're supposed to be overcomers. This is our answer, the Word of God. This is what we need to abide by. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture has been given by inspiration of God and is profitable for correction, for reproof, and so forth. So there's nothing else really matters, is there? I know we're human at the end of the day. I know we're spiritual beings now living in an earthly body. And all things are coming up against us. More things were recognisable now unto us than what there was when we was in the world. But it doesn't take much to be drawn back into situations where we was before. The only thing that we can get round that with is discipline, discipleship. That's where, and this is what Jesus was teaching his disciples. Let's just read a bit further on. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Hallelujah. This is the second time that the storm and the wind has ceased. I'm sure that ocean, that sea, would have been like a mill pond. Calm. Which takes me back to the time on that ship I was on. We entered into the Mediterranean and it was like a swimming pool. Unbelievable. But God can do these things. And he did in this situation with his disciples. But not only that, as we read further down, we find he's also cleared a path. Because there's a second time now, they're in the island of Gadarenes. Listen to what it says. When they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. So they've recognized Jesus, who he really is. You know, they've seen two miracles here. And this, not only that, they've seen him feeding the multitude with the five loaves and two fishes before even all this has started. He's cleared the demonic forces that's gone into the pigs the first time. And now they're back on the same island again. And when they were gone over, they came to the land of the Gadarenes. And when the men of that place acknowledged him, they sent out unto the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. All that were diseased. So again, there would be many people that I'm sure that the devil had hold of. With sickness, with spiritual problems and all the rest of it. And here he is. He's made a way through. He's channeled a way through the first time. to give the second time and to show his disciples the strength and the power and the authority that he had. And you know that power and authority has been handed down to us this morning. It's just that we don't use it. We'd rather please ourselves. Oh yeah, sometimes we might have a go and you know. But the serious things they're about, those things which get on top of us from time to time, it's those things that we need to get over and give them to the Lord. You know, the cross says it all. The cross says it all. We can be followers, but are we disciples? Are we willing to follow Jesus? Are we willing to be overcomers? Are we willing to be able to be in that place where, I'm not saying completely squeaky clean, we're in a place we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord and he is Saviour. And we have been claimed. We've just had Easter last couple of weeks, you know. It speaks there. He was nailed to that cross, and yet he was saying to the crowd, forgive them, Lord, for what they do. Forgive them. That's the God that we serve. That's the God we serve. I'm not going to say much more this morning, but I felt this morning that this was the message for today. So if you're in any storm this morning, then let's give it to the Lord. Let's give it to the Lord in worship and praise. Let's glorify God this morning. Beverly, can you come and lead us out? I'll just switch this off in case we haven't.